Hello, this is Michael Stauffer for LittleShootMatters.org. Today we're meeting with Tom Nelson, who's a candidate for Ottagamie County Executive. Welcome, Tom.
Good to be here.
Let's begin with some basic questions. Why are you running for office? Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're interested in serving the public as Ottagamie County Executive.
Sure. Well, since this is, appropriately enough, this is for LittleShootMatters.org, is my story for why I got interested not just in this office, but public service in general begins in Littleshoot, when my dad moved the family to Littleshoot in 1980, 30 years ago. And he moved the community to start a Lutheran church, and so I followed him door to door as he introduced himself to the community, inviting them to join the congregation. And so I was at a very early age, a very young age, that I understood and learned the importance of serving your neighbor, serving your community. And so it ultimately led to a run for the state assembly in 2004. I ran for re-election in 06 and 08, winning re-election both times, and most recently in the last session, serving as majority leader. I'm running for county executive. In many ways, it's an extension of the objectives I sought to attain by running for lieutenant governor in 2010, which was to move into an executive role. What I found in Madison is so much of the public policy decisions are made in the executive branch, pound for pound, dollar for dollar. It's an extremely important role, and so I want to be a part of that discussion and want to serve my community, my state in that way. Now, of course, I'm not going to be serving the state as a county executive should I win, but I will be doing a lot of those functions reserved for the governor, for the office of the governor, but at a local level, in the county level, because in so many ways the county is an extension of state government, in that you implement everything from law enforcement to the court system, infrastructure development, you have the airport, waste removal, pretty much all basic services you come to, the community comes to rely on, that derive from policies, mandates for better, for worse, and money from state government. So I think the next 4 years are going to be very critical. I think it's incumbent upon the next executive to continue to provide high-quality services in our county at the lowest cost rate. And I'm in the best position to do that because, number one, my legislative experience. I think a lot of this battle is going to come down to whether or not we can get our fair share from the state government. And that's important because those tax dollars originate right here in Ottagamie County. They don't all originate in Dane County. It comes from here, and so it's incumbent upon us to get our fair share. It also comprises about 20-25% of the overall state budget, with a lot of signals and suggesting that the state intends to cut that portion. We have to fight tooth and nail to make sure that our tax dollars are returning from whence they came. Number two, as majority leader, I served as a consensus builder, basically getting 52 legislators from 52 different parts of the state with 52 different agendas on the same page for hundreds of bills that ultimately became law. And then number three, my commitment to public service. I've knocked on over 90,000 doors since I first ran for the assembly in 2004. And I think in addition to having consensus building experience, in addition to having a former legislator who's in the best position to lobby the legislature to ensure we receive our fair share of those tax dollars, I think having someone who's committed to the public, going door to door, being in the community, listening to their concerns, responding to their concerns. I have a solid track record on all three counts. And I think that's what qualifies me to be county executive.
Thank you, Tom. Let's move on to a question about the economy. The economy is on most people's minds right now, especially jobs. According to the Census Bureau, in Ottagamie County, one out of every five jobs are created by small businesses with less than 20 employees. Another two out of the five are from mid-sized businesses with 20 to 200 employees, and that makes up over 95% of the businesses in the county are either small or mid-sized. How will you support existing small and mid-sized businesses and encourage the development of new ones?
Well, first of all, that statistic is pretty similar in other parts of the state, and Tom Barrett and I talked about that a lot during our campaigns for governor and lieutenant governor, respectively, last year. So I think to be able to address this challenge, I think you have to understand the economic situation, which I fully do. I think as far as what you can do from the county perspective, there's a few things. First of all, to continue to emphasize important public private and even some cases nonprofit collaborations. I think once there was a time where the private sector was completely separate from the public sector, not anymore. I can't think of a single meaningful economic development initiative that did not bring in actors from both the public realm as well as the private realm. So I understand that, and I understand the role. So I think that is going to be a very important role in the next county executive. And then also within the public sphere is to be able to work effectively with other actors within the public sector sphere, whether it's legislative leaders at the state level or the federal level or even working with neighboring counties. I think to the extent that the public sector can work as one united front on these challenges can better serve the private sector as well as the community at large. Specific things to do, I think, to continue to make sure we have a strong airport. It is the gem of our county. It's self-sustaining. It literally brings jobs. It brings economic development here. It's extremely important. Collaboration in regional industrial and business parks. If you drive along Highway 41 from Appleton up to Green Bay, there's at least a half a dozen different business parks, industrial parks that are located within a few blocks of Highway 41. And, of course, Highway 41 covers several counties. So working with my counterpart or the county executive's counterpart in other counties, I think is extremely important. That aside, I think we have to go back to job one. The most important function of the county executive is to provide high-quality services at the lowest possible price. We'll come back to the theme again and again. That's important because businesses are only going to locate and expand here if they know that this is a safe community, that we have a good infrastructure system, that we have a strong workforce. Those are the types of services from the public sector specifically that make Outagamie County an attractive place to start a business or expand a business and ultimately add jobs to the payroll. So I think for the county exec to be focused on their number one responsibility to provide those critical services that perhaps sometimes people take for granted will be very, very important in the way of economic development.
Thank you. Very, very interesting. Your comment about the public-private nonprofit partnership. Can you expand on that a little bit? Maybe give some examples of some nonprofit or public-private partnerships?
Sure. Well, with regard to nonprofits, we have a very, very strong nonprofit sector here in Outagamie County. If you compare the Community Foundation of the Fox Valley around the state, is the second largest community foundation in the state, only behind Milwaukee. It's actually larger than Madison, Dane County, larger than Green Bay. If you look underneath that umbrella, you have everything from the Fox Cities United Way. It's very, very strong. You have different food pantries. All of those would work specifically with the social services aspect. I know there's a question coming up on that.
Right.
But that's a really good example of how we can tap the nonprofit sector to help the county accomplish its mission statement with regard to social services. That's a very good and again, that goes back to the area of, economic development is a component of that because those services allow for a healthy community, a healthy and vibrant society. So you can't divorce that from economic development. It is part and parcel with economic development. That's one example. As far as public-private, well, obviously you'd have companies expanding within those industrial parks. But it falls to the county, townships, cities, and villages to provide the needed zoning, to work with state legislators, federal legislators, to see what types of loans, grants, tax credits might be available for specific expansion projects. Having served for 6 years in the legislature, I have a very good understanding of that menu of tax credits incentives that come from the state. And whenever you take on any of those types of initiatives, it is important that you know that you are using every single opportunity to encourage that kind of economic development. So those are just a handful of examples.
Thank you. Our next question is about government finances. When we think about government finances, many of us immediately think taxes, but taxes are only one way to finance government. Fees are another means of generating revenue and sometimes a very hotly debated means. Fees can be paid directly to the county or to third parties for county-mandated products and services. How do you view the use of fees versus taxes to fund the Outagamie County government's activities?
Well, I think the rule of thumb is when you're talking about fees should be linked to specific services, the phrase fee for service. I think that's very important, too. So if you use You know, if you use that rule of thumb, I think that can guide most of the decision-making process in the county for whether or not you're going to use a tax or a fee. Obviously, then taxes are used, you know, versus the fee structure are usually for general services. That's either difficult or impossible to do a fee for service. For example, law enforcement or the court system. Those are two very, very good examples of how you would use the levy as opposed to specific fees.
When you talk about fee for service, that's a great rule of thumb, a great sort of a phrase to describe how fees should be used. Can you give me some examples in the past, perhaps in your legislative experience, of fees versus taxes that people thought the government had gotten wrong, and and how you get a sense of?
Yeah, I think a classic debate with fees versus taxes is with the transportation fund, whether or not you increase vehicle registration fees or you raise the gas tax or lower, whichever direction you want to go. Both of those monies, you know, go into the same fund though. And there are arguments for both sides, whether or not you want to fund the transportation fund through fees or whether you want to, for taxes. Obviously, if you go just with fees, you're only relying on Wisconsin residents. If you go the way of a gas tax, you're going to capture dollars, especially in the summer, from people who are visiting the states and spend those tourist dollars. That's one example.
Thank you. Let's move on to a question about transparency in government. Wisconsin's public records law requires open access to county records for everyone, for all citizens. But making copies of records for use outside of the county offices can be expensive. For example, some computerized data have large database processing fees attached, and another example is that county court documents have high photocopy fees. How do you propose making county records as freely available as possible to the public?
I think the first thing you do is you look at and see precisely how much that photocopying is really costing the county in this particular case. I mean, obviously, I don't have a figure for precisely how much that's going to cost, but I think you look at that and you find out the true cost, and then you charge the citizen only the amount to cover those particular costs. I think to say that, yes, we have an open records law, but we're not going to provide the basic resources and access, I think, is you're trying to, you know, you are throwing out two competing objectives, generating revenue and allowing access to the public. I think that there's a happy medium. What that precise number is, I don't know. However, the way that you figure out that number is you look at what the true cost is and you charge that individual accordingly.
Yes, and sometimes there are demands. How do I say this? There have been cases of people who just want to disrupt government activities in demanding public records, and clearly certain fee structures can help to balance out that kind of an equation. But by and large, people seem to be looking to resources like the internet and other resources just for knowing how their government is working.
Right.
It sounds to me like that's where you're coming from as well.
I think that we have, in the year 2011, we have all kinds of technology and resources available that are intended to make the access of information as free and cheap as possible. I mean, as cheap and accessible as possible. Mm-hmm. So I think it would make sense to take advantage of the technology. I know that, for example, the county website has not been updated since like 1998. I mean, it's a very, very old, and, you know, the county board and the outgoing county executive is very right in setting aside monies to update that, because not only is that going to provide, I mean, that's going to provide all kinds of information more accessible to the public, which can only be a good thing. And I think can go back to this question too, to make the availability of information both accessible and cheap.
Let's move to our last question here about the county social services. Outagamie County social service expenses made up over half of the county's government activities budget in 2009. I think there are similar figures in 2010. With the increased focus on cost controls in government, and some looming cuts, or apparently looming cuts, in state and federal contributions, for social service programs. These things might end up straining our county budget. In this environment, how do you propose that we control social service expenses while continuing to give appropriate assistance to children, the elderly, the sick and disabled, and others in need?
Well, I think this goes back to the first comment I made in my introduction about how the county is an extension of the state. And a very, very big part of the county budget is health and human services. It's important to note that a lot of what the county does is not by choice, but by requirement and mandate. Sometimes those mandates are followed by the dollars to be able to provide those services. Sometimes they're not, and that's where the rubber meets the road. That's, I believe, one of the points at which we have financial difficulties, because it begins with a requirement from the state, but the money doesn't follow, and so it falls to the county to ultimately go to the levy, local levy, or to spend down on reserves, both of which are not good alternatives. But when you have a requirement, when you have a mandate, you have no choice but to take those types of action. So I think what's important is to look at the types of services that the county is providing vis-a-vis the state. Find out, you know, which of those services once upon a time had the money behind it, but over time lost that money and has fallen onto a local property tax burden. That's important because that can help guide us in our state-local outreach to make sure we're getting our fair share of dollars. I mean, that's what I mean when I'm talking about our fair share of dollars. It's not just saying that Outagamie County generates X percent of the state tax dollar revenue, so we should get X percent back. But in order for us to continue to provide high-quality services at the lowest possible price, we need to know where along the road those dollars stop coming from the state. So that's one approach that I would take. I think this also, outside of issues related to our reserves and levy and working with state legislators, I think there's a lot of opportunity to work closely with neighboring counties. I know that there's a very healthy partnership between Outagamie and Calumet County, because most of Outagamie County's population is in the southern portion of the county. Most of Calumet County's population is in the northern part. In fact, if you're in the town of like the town of Harrison, for example, where the Outagamie County services are just blocks away, you would have to drive miles to get to Chilton. So it doesn't make sense. And I know that already Health and Human Services Department is working with Calumet County to provide some of those services at in a very cost efficient manner. And there's a lot of examples too. For example, there was a service that was being provided at the Outagamie County complex, but down the street there was a federal health community clinic that was providing the exact same service. So instead of duplicating that service, they went down the street. And you already had the infrastructure. You already had the bus transportation. So it only made sense. The county saved money. So I think that's another approach that the next county executive and their agency teams can continue to take that kind of approach in trying to find efficiencies and savings within the services that we're providing.
Thank you, Tom. This has been a great time visiting with you and listening to your vision about Outagamie County going forward. Thank you.
Good to be here.